He started learning Pirkei Avos and Masechta Avos as of post Pesach. And the Mishnah at the beginning of Avos, Moshe Kivel Torah Misinai, begins with Torah and with the Shalshalas HaKabbalah. We would like to raise a few questions. Question number one, why is this Mishnah located here and not at the beginning as an introduction to Shas? Why is it located here in Masechta in the Seder Nezikin after Sanhedrin? What's its place and its location here? Is there a transmission of Torah that goes back to Sinai, a Kabbalah and a Mesorah, not just for Halacha, but also for Midos and Musar? After all, this Masechta, the contents of this Masechta is Midos and Musar. And is there a Kabbalah Mesorah all the way back to Har Sinai? And in general, we want to understand why Rebbe begins with Torah. To begin our discussion, we'd like to present a controversy on a very fundamental question, and that is, the Rabbeinu Avadya ben Bar Tanura claims that the reason why this Masechta has this specific unique introduction is because of the unique nature of this Masechta as one that's dedicated to Musar and Midos. And lest one think that just as amongst the wise philosophers of the nations of the world, the Chachmim HaSolam, they have written and authored books that contain moral and ethical teachings, great deal of philosophical works on ethics and morality, the Chachma Yisrael similarly have written and authored these Mishnayos, these works, these presentations and rules of ethics and morality. And therefore one might mistakenly come to the conclusion that just as the Umos HaOlam came up with their ethics and their moral theories and regulations based on their own logic, it means Kemoshe Bodu Miliban, basically reflecting the thoughts and the philosophies of a particular day and a particular time, so too, with regard to Klal Yisrael and the Chachmei Yisrael, they too came up with these ideas on their own. Asher Bodu Miliban, he says, no, that's why Rebbe organized this Mishnah of Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai as an introduction to this Masechta dedicated to Midos and Musa, to teach us and establish that just as there's a Mesorah for Halacha, so too there's a Mesorah for Midos and Musar. And that's the significant introduction here to Masechta Avos. Now, on the other opposite end of the spectrum, we have the Maral Miprag, who assumes that there is a Mesorah with regard to the 613 mitzvahs, how to interpret them, but with regard to Midos and Musar, each Chacham Yisrael came up with his own philosophy. And that's antithetical to the approach of the Bar Tanura. And it's not just the Bar Tanura, but it's also the Vilna Gaon. And you might think, well, the Bar Tanura was way before the Gaon historically. Why do I need the Gaon as an approving and accepting the Shita of the Bar Tanura? But the answer is, since there is a plugged about this back at the time of the Bar Tanura, which goes back pretty much to the time of the Maral, a little bit earlier, but back in the, you know, the 15th, 16th centuries, then it's important to see who accepts the opinion of the Bar Tanura. And the Vilna Gaon embraces this view. And perhaps we could say that the Gaon takes it even a step further. The Gaon addresses the following question: why is this Masechta called Avos? What's the meaning of the word Avos? And its answer is based on a Gemara at the beginning of Bava Kamma, also in the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara asks, what's the difference between Avos and Toldos? In Shabbos we have Ovis and Toldos. In Zikr we have Ovis and Toldos. And the language of the Gemara in Masech the Shabbos, Sarif Ovim and Beis, Hani Dechsivim Doraisa Mikre Ovos, those categories which are written explicitly in the Torah, they are called Ovos. The derivatives and the subcategories are called Toldos. So we take, for example, there's a parasha in Mishpatim of Eish. Eish becomes an Av Hamazik. If, on the other hand, a person puts something dangerous, precarious, on the top of a roof and it gets blown down in a regular wind, that's a told of Eish. Because that's not written in the Torah. The case of Eish is Koach HaChemuruv Bo, but it's a fire. That he lights a fire, the wind carries it from place X to place Y, and it damages. In the case of Hiniach, Evan Barosh Gago, Venofla Baruch Mitzuya, that's a tolda. Says the Gaon, the same definition of an Av applies here to Midos and Musar. Namely, that this Masechta encompasses the Avos of Musar and Hanhogos Tovos, Midos Tovos, meaning that which is reflected in the Torah itself, in the Tanakh. And that makes it an Av. These are Avos because Hani Ksiva Doraisa. All the other writings subsequent to our Masechta, Masechta Avos, that encompass and present Midos and Musar, that's all Toldos. And with regard to Toldos, we say Toldosem Kayotzi Behen. There has to be a direct correlation and a very intimate relationship between the Av and the derivative of the Tolda. Here too, in Midos and Musar, any Tolda, any presentation of what a Midan and Hagatova is, and is accepted and advocated by the Torah, that has to be subsumed under one of the Avos. And the Avos that are incorporated in Masechta Avos have a special status insofar as they are derived from the Torah, from the Tanakh. And the illustration is going to be the principle established in Mishnah's Avos of Yehei Kvod Chavercha Chavev Alech Kichsholcha, the sensitivity that we have to have for another Jew. And in order to embellish and clarify why this is called an Av and it's incorporated in Masechta Avos, we're going to see and study for a moment a sugya, an agadita in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Nun Aleph. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Gamliel back in the day when they were Ma'abar Shana, that means they add an extra month to the year, Chodesh Adar Beis. There had to be a decision of a Bezdin that comprised seven different people, different Dayanim. And Rabbi Gamliel declared, make sure that we can get seven people together, seven Dayanim, and climb up to the Aliyah, to the high point. That's where, in the room they had the office, where they would have the deliberations regarding Ibra Shon and the final verdict to be Ma'abra the Shon. So he declared, gather me together seven people from amongst the Dayanim, let them climb the stairs up to the Aliyah. When Gamliel got up there, he finds that there are eight. And he declares, Mihu Sha'ola Shalom Bershus Yeret. One of you had no right to be here, please go down. Omad Shmuel Akotan. And Shmuel, the humble one, stood up, the Omer, and he declared, Ani hu shalisi shelo bershus. I'm the one who's guilty of coming up here without permission. I'm not included in the seven. V'lo li abra shono lisi, but you should know I didn't come in order to vote one way or the other in terms of Ibra Shona and to participate in the final ruling. El lilmon halacha lamaisu tzrachti, but rather I was interested in doing shimush, what they call here in Israel, istaklut, in order to be an apprentice, to learn the halachas. Omar lo, Rav Gamliel turns to Shmuel HaKot, and he says, shave b'ni, shave, ru'uyos kol ha'shonim kulam l'sa'ar al yodcha. You should know, Shmuel HaKot, you are so great that you halavai that all the Hebrew Shanas for the rest of Jewish history should take place through you. But the reason I was concerned is because Omru Chachomein Ma'avrin Es Hashana El B'Mezumonim La. Now, in truth, says the Gemara, adding this comment, V'lo Shmuel HaKotan Hava, it was not Shmuel HaKotan who had snuck in illegally. He was, in fact, one of the original Mezumonim. El Inish Achrina, there was another person in that group, Umachmas Ki Sufu Diavid, but in order to avoid humiliating that Jew who would have to stand up and pack his way out because he would admit that he was there illegally, to cover up for him, Shmuel himself declared himself as being guilty. And the Sugya in Sanhedrin goes on to give us a parallel case. Kihadi Yosef Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the great Rebbe, was darshaning, he was teaching his disciples, Ve'riach, and he smelled Reach Shum, the very strong, pungent odor of garlic. Omar, and he declares, Misha Achal Shum Yetze, the one who ate this garlic should stand up and leave. Omar Rabbi Chia, he was the outstanding Talmud of Rebbe, stood up on his feet, Ve'yotz, and he left. He walked out, as if to say, I'm the guilty one. And now, Amdu Kulam, every one of the students, followed the leadership of Rabbi Chia, the Yatsu, and they all packed out. Rebbe was left with an empty classroom. You know, very often the students wait for the teacher, the instructor. If he doesn't show, they wait 20 minutes and then they leave. But here's a case where the entire class picked up and packed out. Lemacha, the Gemara tells us, the next day, B'shachar Matzo, Rabbi Shimon, L'Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, encounters Rabbi Chia Omer, and he says to him, Atohu Shetziarto Liaba, was it you who caused this tzar to my father, that everyone packed out on him? Omer lo, Rabbi Chia said, lo tehei kazos b'Yisrael, this is not the proper behavior. We cannot tolerate embarrassing a Jew. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Chia mehecha gomer le, it can't be that Rabbi Chia was bada milibo, to use the term of the Bar Tanura, that he came up with this mida on his own. He must have some sort of misores. And the Gemara establishes Gamalei mi Rebbe Meir. This Sanya is a braisa, an unbelievable story. Maisa b'isha achas, a woman comes into the Beis Medrash of Rebbe Meir nonetheless. Amalon, she tells Rebbe Meir, Rebbe, echad mikem, one of your students, kidashtani b'bia. He had a marriage relationship with me, with Bia. Omad, Rabbi Meir v'kosev lo get krisus. And rather than embarrass the Talmud who had such a relationship, Rabbi Meir stood up, wrote her a get, v'nasan lo. Amdu kulam kosev v'nasnu lo. And everyone in Talmidim got up and wrote a get. So we never know, and we'll never find out, which one of the Talmidim Rabbi Meir might have been guilty of this crime. But Lamaisa, she got a get from the one who, according to her claim, was bald. For Rabbi Meir Mehecha Gamala, and how did Rabbi Meir know to do this and to learn such a thing, that in order to cover up for someone else who's guilty, he should confess as if he was the guilty one. Mishmuel HaKatan, he learned it from Shmuel HaKatan, who pointed the accusing finger at himself and said, I was the one who snuck in for this Ibur Hashanah Shalom Bershus. And the Gemara says, Ushmol HaKot Mechid Gomer La. And where did he learn it from? How did he know about it? And the answer is that he derived it from an episode that's recorded in Tanakh. This is in Sefer Ezra, the story of Shechniah ben Yechiel. The Jews came on the second Aliyah after the Rishus was given for the Aliyah Shniyah to build the Beis HaMikdash, and a lot of the Jews brought non-Jewish women to the land of Israel. They had married these women, and Ezra was looking to find out who was guilty of this crime. And Vayan Shichnia ben Yechiel Mivnei Ilam Vayomer li Ezra Nachnu ma'alnu belokenu. He points an accusing finger at himself. Vanoshiv Noshim Nochrios Mi'ami Ha'aretz. And we have brought back with us non-Jewish women, shiksas, that we married there. V'ata yesh mikvah liYisrael al zos. Now, in truth, this fellow, Shichnia, was not guilty. Rashi says, "Hu lo nasa nochrus v'hichnas atzim v'chlal shlo lahalbin es pneyem." He didn't want to embarrass the ones who were really guilty of this crime, so he took responsibility for himself. V'shichnia ben Yechiel mehecha gomala. He couldn't have come up with this moral principle on his own. He must have derived it from someone who came before him, one of his rebbeim, one of his predecessors. Gomala Yoshua Dichsiv. It says with regard to Yoshua, and this is in Perek Zayin, Vayomer Hashem el Yoshua Kamlach Lama Zat Anofel al Panecha Chata Yisrael. And Rashi says that this story, the episode of Yeshua's Lorotza Kosh Brachu Legalos Miu Achote, Behichlin says Kulam Bechlal, Shenemar Chata Yisrael, Bemaisa Di Ochan. You may remember the parasha that after the Melchemes Ochan, after the Melchemes Ai, Ochan was guilty of taking from the booty against the law, and Hashem wanted to know, I'm sorry, Yeshua wanted to know who was guilty, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to reveal it to him, so he said, Chata Yisrael, in a general sense. And then at the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'chidil Torani, am I going to rat on somebody? Hitil Gorolos, and Yeshua himself was able to figure out who was guilty. Ibai same other Savi Moshe Dechsiv Ad Ona Mi Antem. Rashi says Kulam Bechlal. Vare Kulam Lo Yotzu Lilkot. This was the case where they went out on Shabbos to collect the man. Ela Mixas Dechsiv Yotzu Min Ha'av. Ibai Yom Ashvi Yotzu Min Ha'am Lilkot Velo Matzo. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to focus on any particular individual, but rather Ad Ona Me'antem, or rather Hashem wanted to cover up, and he said Ad Ona Me'antem. Clearly we see that in Midos and Musa there's got to be a source in the Torah, in Tanakh, and it really dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. This is all part of the Masorah, says the Gaon. I can give you an example. In fact, the Gaon wrote an entire work on Avos in order to base his and prove his conclusion that what's written incorporated in Masechta Avos are really the Avos. In other words, the Midos that are in the Tanakh itself. So we see clearly that the Gaon understands that there's a Masorah on Midos that goes back to Har Sinai. In fact, not only a Masorah, but there's also a Torah Shebichsav element. I mean, that we didn't see in the Bar Terura. And that's why that justifies the name Avos. Now, in order to understand and appreciate the Nafka Mina, the implication of what the Gaon is saying, and the meaning of the name Avos, we'd like to take out a Chumash, Chumash Dvarim, Sefer Dvarim, and compare and contrast two Parshios. One Parsha is in Vayeschanan and the other is in Re'eh. In Vayeschanan, in Perek Dalid, Lo Tzosifu al Adovar Sharnokim Mitzav Eschem Lo Sigru Mimenu Lishmar es mitzvos Hashem Elokeichem asher anochi mitzaveh eschem. We have two lavim here, two sides of a coin. One is Baltosif and one is Baltigra. We're enjoined from adding to the Torah. We're enjoined from subtracting from the Torah. If we fast forward now to Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph, this is in Parshas Re'eh, Es kol ha-dovar asher anochi mitzaveh eschem osos tishmeru v'lo sosif olah v'lo sigra mimenu. Once again, the Torah repeats itself, enjoining us from adding or subtracting from the Torah. We'd like to suggest three approaches as to why the Torah felt compelled to repeat that which it seems to be absolutely superfluous, an absolute repetition of these two lavim, lo tosif, v'lo sigra mimenu. The first approach comes from Rabbi Yonasan Zaks, in the Sefer Yemei Tmimim, and he bases himself on a very meticulous reading of these two parshios. In the first, in Vaischana, lo tosifu is written in the plural, v'lo sigru in the plural. Whereas in Parshas Re'eh, it says lo tosaf, lo tigra, in the grammatical singular. And he suggests the following, that there are two isurim with regard to bal tosaf, bal tigra. Two categories. We know that all of the Torah can be subsumed under two categories. One is a chovas yachid, or an averis yachid, and the other is a chovas tzibur, or an averis tzibur. One is incumbent on each individual, and one on the community as a whole. Bal Tosif has two dimensions to it. The first parasha, which is written in the plural, addresses itself to each individual, kol yachid v'yachid. The second parasha in Re'eh, which is written in the singular, addresses itself to the entire Klal Yisrael, the Tzibur, as a Tzibur. And again, it's a little bit counterintuitive. We would think that if the Torah wants to address itself to every single individual, then it should operate with a Lashon Yachid. And if the Torah is talking about the entire community, it should be Lashon Rabbim. Here it's just the opposite. And the reason for that, which comes earlier in the period of the Gaon, perhaps the Gaon was Machadishit, that's how I heard it, that when the Torah addresses itself to many individuals, it uses the plural, speaking and addressing, as it were, every individual, which makes up a plural. On the other hand, when the obligation, or the Avera on the flip side, is addressed to the Tzibur as a Tzibur, that's one indivisible entity or unit. The representative of that unit of Klal Yisrael, of the people of Israel as a Tzibur as a whole, is Bezdin. So whenever there's a Chovas Tzibur, Bezdin is going to implement that Chovas Tzibur. We find, for example, in Sfiras HaOmer, the Torah says, Usfartem Lachem, in the plural, addressing itself to every individual member of Klal Yisrael, Zachiv Sfira. But with regard to counting the Shnos HaYovel, Shemitah and Yovel, it says, Visafarto Lach, in the singular, and that Sfira, to maintain the number of the years in the Shemitah, and ultimately the Yovel, is incumbent upon Bezdin. Because there it's a Chovas Tzibur, and Bezdin is there to represent the Tzibur. Now the Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Hay, is going to teach us that the Iser Bal Tosif applies not just to individuals, but also to Bezdin. And the Rambam gives the following case. The Torah says, Lo Tevashel Gdi B'chalev Imo. And the question is, how do we define Gedi? And the conclusion is that Gedi includes two out of three of the categories. Right? Animals fit into three categories. There's Behema, there's Chaya, and Oaf. With regard to Behema and Chaya, they're included under Gedi. But we pass like Rabbi Yossi Aglili that Oaf, a bird, is not included under Gedi. The Rabbanan stood up and they made a gzera, and they said, we're not going to allow you to cook milk and chicken, even though it comes from a bird, and that becomes a gzera de Rabbanan. On the other hand, to cook, let's say for example, deer meat, which is called venison, which is a tzvi, and that is a chaya, with milk, is a violation of an Issa d'oraisa. Says the Rambam, yavo bezdin, v'yatir basar chaya, Becholov, Says the Rama Reza Gorea, they violate the Isur of Baltigra. Why? Because they wanted to be Matir, Basar Chaya Becholov. Then the Rama says, Vim Yesar, Basar Ha'of, Yomashu Becholah Gdiv, Wasim in the Torah Reza, Mosif. If he claims, if Bezin claims, that cooking milk and chicken would be a violation of a Torah law, that would be Baltosif. But we see clearly that the Rambam is addressing Bezdin, and they, Bezdin, by either adding or subtracting or violating these various Isurim respectively, that's because the Isur Baltosif is addressing itself not only to the individual members of Klal Yisrael, that's Lo Tosifu or Lo Tigru in Parashas Vayeshalom, but also to the Tzibur as a whole, in the singular Lo Tosef, Lo Tigra, and Parashas Rei, that is a mitzvah, or in this case, Yisurim, that is incumbent upon Bezdin, insofar as Bezdin is a representative of the Tzibur. However, I would like to share with you the Vilna Gaon's answer to the original question that we raised. Why does the Torah repeat itself with Baltos and Baltigra once in Parshas Vaschan and again in Parshas Re'eh? The Gaon has his unique approach. And he says that there are two parshios and two categories of Isur Baltosif. One is to change the mitzvah itself, Gufa de Mitzvah. For example, to add a fifth min to the lulav, a fifth kanaf to tzitzis, or to subtract and reduce it down to three, down to three in the case of tzitzis, the case of lulav, or in the case of matonos, which are zrikos al gavim mizbeach, sometimes the Torah requires four, and to reduce it to three is baltigra, to add a fifth is baltosif. In all these cases, he violates baltigra baltosif by adding or subtracting from the gufa shel mitzvah. However, the Gaon says that definition of Baltos and Baltigra is generated by Parshas Re'eh, where it says, Kol hadavar asher anochi mitzaveh eschem. The Eskol hadavar, here at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel in Parshas Re'eh, is referring to the Cheftah Shel Mitzvah, the Dovar. Asher anochi mitzaveh eschem. And lo tosif olav, don't add v'lo tigra mimenu from the mitzvah, the Dovar itself. That's a change, subtraction, or addition to the gufa shel mitzvah. However, in the parsha of Vaeschanan, here we're talking about something totally different. Because if you look at the beginning of Perek Daled, the Torah, in the introduction, speaks about Shema Yisrael Sachuk El Achukim El Mishpatim. We're talking about the mitzvahs, which divide up into Chukim Mishpatim, all total 613. Here, says the Gaon, the Parsha is generating an Isur to add a mitzvah to the Torah. Shelo Yosifu Al Tariag HaMitzvahs. Or not to subtract one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So we have two parashios here and two categories of Baltosif. One is the parasha in Re'eh, and there he changes the gufa shel mitzvah, subtracts or adds. And one is in parashas Vaeschanan, and there he creates a new mitzvah or subtracts one of the old mitzvahs. So those are the two approaches that we mentioned to justify the two parashios. However, in the Leket Sichos Musar, for Parshas Re'eh, he has a whole new approach. And that's the one I think will shed the light, the most light, on our study of Masechta Avos. He focuses our attention on the Psukim in Dvarim Yud Beis. Again, in Parshas Re'eh, but here at the end of Perek Yud Beis. And there the Torah commands us, Ki Yachris Hashem Elkecha Sagoyim when we destroy the nations that occupy the land of Israel, Hishamalcha Pentinokesh, be careful not to fall into the following pitfall, Pentidrosh Aloheim Lamar, that you lest you investigate their gods and the way that they worship their idols. Lomar Echa Yavdu Agoyimaelis Aloheim. You know, it may start with some sort of naive investigation of idol worship, but Ve'ese Kein Gamani. Ultimately, the temptation will be to imitate the ways of the idol worshippers. Lo Sasu Kein LaShem Elokecha Ki Kol To'avas HaShem Asher Sonei Basul Eloheim. I find, says God, all the ways of the idol worshippers abominable and repulsive in my eyes. And the Torah goes on and gives a profound example of something that's absolutely repulsive as they come in the idol worshippers. Gam es b'neihem ves b'nosehem yisruvu be'esh l'Eloheihem. They take their firstborn and they bring him as a sacrifice to their gods, what we call Moloch. Es kol ha'dovar asher anochi mitzav eschem osos sishmaru lasos lo sosif olav v'lo sigra mimenu. Following in the footsteps of this parasha of warning us not to imitate the goyim in the way they worship their idols, comes lo tosif olav and lo sigra mimenu that we mentioned in parasha Asra'eh. And this is in addition to what we find in Parshas Vayeschanan. I mean, you might ask the question, again, as we started, why does the Torah repeat itself in Re'eh? We already have this in Vayeschanan. And the answer is that in Parshas Vayeschanan, that's classical Baal Tosif, in which we add or subtract from the mitzvos. Here, in Parshas Re'eh, there's a whole new parsha of Baal Tosif. And listen to this carefully. This is not a Baal Tosif on mitzvahs, but rather Baal Tosif on in Yoni Avoda, on Hergeshim. We're not talking about changing, altering the mice of mitzvah per se. On that, we already have a warning not to do so. And that's back in Vayeschanan. Kind of what's added here in Parshas Re'eh is a brand new category. To add to the way a person has to feel, the way he has to worship, the way he has to serve God. That he shouldn't look around at the goyim and see the way they give honor to their idols and where they're willing to sacrifice their own children for the secular idols. And he says, well, let's imitate them. That's a warning in the Torah that we shouldn't use our hargoshos that come from our understanding, in this case from looking at the goyim and trying to imitate their seichel. For example, the goyim burn their firstborn for avodah zarah and bring that as a sacrifice, or going up in smoke, killing their own children, because their logic obligates them or forces them to do this. This is the bechor that they're offering as a sacrifice. Because of their pshayim, they want to atone for their sins. So what they do is they bring their own children as a sacrifice to atone for their sins. How despicable can you get? Now, it's true that Yechezkel HaNavi says, Pisha'enu v'chatoseinu aleinu ubam anu nimokim v'eich nichye, that we will be destroyed for our sins in the eyes of the idol worshippers in order to avoid our destruction, our being killed because of our sins. We'll offer our firstborn son as a carbon. But the point is that the Navi is Mashbia Klal Yisrael, the name of God, Shatshuva Moila, that instead of trying to atone for them by coming up with this crazy idea of sacrificing their firstborn, do tshuva. But the point is that the Torah is saying, don't look to your left, don't look to the right, don't start studying this kind of idol worship and that kind of worship and say, well, you know, they made sense, we'll make sense, we'll do the same thing. That's a separate Iser Bal Tosef and a separate parasha. To come up with new ideas and new feelings about how to serve Hashem, that's already a violation of Bal Tosef and Bal Tigra. And if that be the case, we come back to Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. The way the Gaon understands it, this is called Masechta Avos, because these are the Avos that are written and incorporated into the Torah Shebichsav, the Tanakh, and passed on with the tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Har Sinai, straight throughout. And this is going to teach us that when it comes to Hashkofa, about how to serve Hashem, when it comes to Midos, we have a Mesoris that dates back to Har Sinai, and we cannot add to that Mesoris, we can't subtract that Mesoris. We come up with our own ideas, our own feelings, and we look here, we look there, we try to imitate the Goyim, whatever we do, and that creation of our own moral system, which is not based on Har Sinai, that itself is a violation of Bal Tosef and Bal Tigra. The Tiferes Yisrael, one of the other great commentators on Mishnayos, here at the beginning of Avos, offers another reason as to why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was so emphatic about opening up this Masechta with Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. And he bases himself on a rule in Chazal, an overriding principle, Im Ein Torah Ein Derech Eretz, that Torah has to come first. And then we could talk about Derech Eretz, interpersonal relationships and sensitivities and respecting others. But first we got to start with the Torah. And why is that so? Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. The belief in Torah represents the belief that God revealed Himself to His people. And if God revealed Himself, He will supervise us. There's Hashgacha, and He watches the way we behave, whether we have midos tovos, whether we don't, whether we observe the Torah, we don't, chas v'shalom. All this is being witnessed by the eye of Almighty God, and there will be a reckoning and reward and punishment. That is the yesod and the introduction to Masechta Derech Eretz, Masechta Avos. Without this belief in Torah, which is the belief that Hashem is with us, Hashem is aware of our actions, more than we ourselves are aware of our actions, and there will be a reckoning. That is the yesod. Yesod is the fundamental principle upon which this whole building, this whole structure is founded. The structure of Midos, the structure of Musar, the Masechta Avos. It's all built on Torah, on Emunah in our Torah, on the revelation of God, the fact that God is aware of everything that goes on here, and we will be held responsible. And in contrast, says the Tiferes Yisrael, when it comes to the Umos HaOlam, what motivates them in terms of the world of ethical morality is Lispire. It's a way of building myself up. Wow, look, everyone's saying wow about the way I treat everyone else. Or perhaps it's Chul Shas Tivo. He's weak in nature, and he doesn't have the ability to rebel against the rules and the moral rules of society. And basically, what inhibits man from violating these moral rules out there in the world is Yiras HaOnesh. Because there is a government, there is a legislature, and laws have been legislated, and if not observed, they incur punishments. Basically, there's no genuine morality. What I mean to say is that this morality is not something that's essential and that is absolutely sincere. It's almost external. Here, when it comes to the Torah, it's Ein, when it comes to Derech Eretz here in Avos and the moral system, it's in Ein Torah, Ein Derech Eretz. We start with Torah. We start with our basic commitment and faith to Torah. Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. And now I believe that God is there watching me, and I will be held accountable for my actions. And this is a phenomenal idea that is so central to the difference between our moral system and Lahavdil, the moral system of the Goyim. Ours is based on Torah, which is given min Hashamayim, and a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an awareness that God supervises of us. And there is Hashgacha Pratis. The Goyim don't have that. They may have philosophies and philosophers and moral courses in moral philosophy, but they don't have that essential belief in Torah, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the reckoning and the responsibility, because God is watching, God is supervising us. And the phenomenal parsha, the way the Malbim interprets it so beautifully, of this point, is the parsha in Vayera of Avram in Plishtim. And when he comes down there, it's Plishtim, he says to Sarah, you're so beautiful, Imrana Achosi At. And then, as a result, the king takes her into his palace, and everything that goes wrong, goes wrong. And when he accosts Avram, why did you lie to me? Why did you fabricate the truth and tell me you are sister and brother? Vayomer Avram, Avram declares, Ki amarti rak ein yiras Elokim b'mokom hazeh. The Haraguni al dvar ishti. The Malbim wants to understand the language and the concept. The language, what does it mean? Rak ein yiras Elokim b'mokom hazeh. And number two, why the conclusion therefore says Avram Haraguni al dvar ishti? Says the Malbim, Rak ein yiras Elokim b'mokom hazeh. Avram Avinu was notifying him that, you know what? I can see about your nation that it has a culture, it has moral thinkers, and it's a culture that implements mishpat utzdaka. But it's all based on seichel. It's all based on logic. And therefore, you cannot rely on the human being that he will live up to the standards of those moral principles which you have mandated and legislated. Because at a moment when the desire, the base desire of man for pleasure takes over him, he becomes a subject rather than an object. He is moved, I should say an object rather than a subject, he is moved and influenced and impacted by the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. The fire of desire burns within him. He sees a beautiful woman. He's capable of forgetting all his morality. It all goes down the tubes. There's no one seeing what he's doing, no one can control him, no one can punish him, and therefore he's going to do what he wants to do because his desire for pleasure is so powerful. All his seichel goes for naught. There's only one faculty, only one power in the human being, the way God created us, that could possibly guarantee that we don't sin, and that's Yiras Shamayim. If that is embedded deeply and profoundly in the nefesh, then and only then can we assume that man has the potential of overcoming his Yetzer Hara, because he knows with Yiras Shamayim that God is watching, that everything is revealed in front of God, there's nothing secret, there's nothing you can keep secret from Hashem. And therefore, says the Malbim, I quote, Gam b'eis sheyigbar olav yitzro, yira v'yivosh, mimelech agol haroes kol maisav, v'yizor milasos ra. At that moment, when the Yetzer Hara tries to tempt him and challenge him, then he realizes he's in the presence of Almighty God, the King of Kings, and he's embarrassed to violate the will of the King. And therefore be very careful and not do evil. That's called Yiras Hashem Musar Chachma, Yiras Hashem Reishis Hadas. But Avraham Avinu says, Amarti, he says, now, even though I saw that you are Bali Midos Tovos, you're a cultured a society with laws and mishpat and stalker, but nevertheless, there's only one thing that you're missing. Rak ein Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. There's no Yiras Hashem. It's impossible that you have Yiras Elokim because you don't have a belief in Hashgacha Pratis, that God sees everything, He knows everything, He supervises and judges everything. You're not aware of that. And therefore you have no Yiras Shamayim. Haraguni al dvar ishti. Therefore the conclusion is, I can't be secure in your place. I don't know what's going to happen when the desire for pleasure and lust will overtake you, overwhelm you, and you know what? There's no guarantee with all the morality and all the laws, thou shalt not kill, and so forth and so on. You won't be able to overcome Yetzirah, and you'll kill me. And that's because there's no Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. And I want to conclude with a story that dates back to the 1930s of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Here it's Yom HaShoah, so it's appropriate we speak about one of the 6 million who was killed, the great Rabbi Chanan. And in the 30s, he came to visit Berlin. Now, there was a what we call a Seminar Lirabbonim, a rabbinic seminary in Berlin at that time. It was originally established by Rev Hazriel Hildesheimer, but later on it was taken over. The leadership was at the helm Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, one of the survivors of the Holocaust, the Baal HaSri Deish. And when he found out that Rabbi Chanan was visiting Berlin, he begged Rabbi Chanan to come and give a drasha, sicha, shmuz, a moral talk in front of his Talmidim in the seminar Lirabbonim, the seminary. And finally, Rabbi Chanan gave in. And when Rabbi Chanan came up to the Dukhan in order to give his Musa Shmuz, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg ran ahead of him, and in front of the entire community, he recited the bracha b'shemu malchus shecholak michachmasa l'yireyav. Rabbi Chanan jumped up from his place and he said, that nein, that you're not allowed to make that bracha on me. That was the anova of Rabbi Chanan. In any event, Rabbi Chanan got up and he spoke. And what he said apparently penetrated to the hearts of the Talmidim for the rest of their lives. And Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, whenever he tells over this, whenever he's no longer, but whenever he would tell over the story, he would say over the way Rabbi Chanan had such an impact on the crowd, on the gathering of these potential future Rabbonim. And he spoke, Rabbi Chanan, about this parsha in Vayera that we spoke about before, Vayomer Avram ki amarti rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh v'hareguni al dvar ishti. And Rabbi Chanan's question was, what is the Torah coming to teach me in this double negative of rak ein? It could have said rak, it could have said ein, but why rak ein? And Rabbi Chanan's answer was that this teaches us that Avraham Avinu saw in Eretz Plishtim, in Gerar, many nice things. He saw culture, he saw technology, he saw art, and everything was so sophisticated. But there was one thing that was missing, and that was Yiras Elokim. And said Rabbi Chanan, if there's no Yiras Elokim, then with all the beauty and all the values and all the culture, there's enough of a justification for Avraham Avinu's fear of Vehariguni, and they will kill me. And said Rabbi Chanan that we may be in a very cultured society here in Germany, in Berlin. This is the Traklin Shel Turbat Tarbut HaMarav. This is the opening into Western culture, the music and the art and the love of technology and science and lenses and various advancements of the Germans. But there's no Yiras Shamayim. And if there's no Yiras Shamayim, there's a possibility that everything would turn into ritzicha, into murder. Now, at this point, nobody really anticipated exactly how far the Nazis could go in their annihilation and their program to annihilate the Jewish people. Everyone hoped that there would be a limit to the subjugation and to the redifos and the kipuchim against the Jewish people, the anti-Semitism. But nobody really believed at that time that the Germans would destroy millions of Jews. But Rabbi Chanan had this eye that penetrated beyond the pargod. He knew what was me'ever pargod, me'achori pargod. He knew what would come down in time. And he sensed that Ein Yiras Elokim, and with all the respect to that culture, they can create and become the murderous weapon, create the murderous, most murderous weapon perhaps in history. And this is what it means when Shlomo HaMelech says at the end of Kohelet, Sof Dovar HaKol Nishma Ki Zeh Kol HaAdam, this is all of man. And what does he say? Es Elokim Yira, that man fear God. Yiras Hashem is what defines a man as a man. A Baal Chai doesn't have Yiras Hashem. But when does a human being have rights to call himself an Adam, superior to the animal race? It's only when he's endowed with Yiras Elokim. And that's again to support the Tiferes Yisrael. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down from the heavens, from the Sheish Shmei Shamayim, on our Sinai to deliver the Torah. Because Hashem is very much involved in our actions and very much aware constantly of what we're doing. And that's the Yiras Hashem that we have to develop within ourselves. That's the introduction and the foundation for all of Avos. Yiratzon that we should be Zochet to the true, genuine Yiras Shamayim. And then, Emir Hashem, we're ready to study Avos, the Avos that are written in Tanakh, and fulfill the Avos and all that told us, to bring Kiddush Hashem as great inspired students of Masechta Avos. That's our will, that's our goal, our ambition, our drive. Kein Yiratzon, may Hashem give us the Siyat Nishmai to fulfill that drive. Amen.